Trump being too old is not even the top 100 reasons I think he's a shitty president.
No.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about the new Aquaman movie. Did DC finally manage to get it right, or is it, you know, another DC movie?
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello, I was drinking water.
And which makes sense. And Nick Glover.
Splish, splash.
And we are here to exercise the Geeks Without God Fairness in Comic Book Movie Act.
Yes.
By talking about Aquaman.
Sploosh.
It's
sploosh.
A movie.
It is a movie in which...
And we saw it.
In which a lot of it takes place in a world that is theoretically underwater. And you can
tell
because everybody's hair moves gracefully.
Yes.
And everyone looks slowly. Like...
Everyone's faces look a little weird.
Yeah, everyone looks like 4 years younger.
Yeah.
A little softer around the edges.
Yeah.
A little Vaseline on the camera.
A little less gravity going on in the water.
Yeah.
Little, and people, instead of walking, we don't see them walk. We see them float gracefully.
Well, and Atlanteans are apparently able to just sort of like Superman style, just kind of like make a slight motion and then they go through the water. Like they don't... It's much like how Superman
the water
flies.
Yeah.
They don't really have to do anything. They just kind of go boop, like they just kind of go.
I've always loved the comic book question: how does Superman fly? Well, you know, like this, and then they make a hand gesture.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, but then what does he do to fly faster?
Yeah, just kind of.
It's like
bear
he just kind of does that, but like a little bit more.
I always imagine he squeezes his butt.
a little bit of a butt clench.
Maybe that's what
Toast Man.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the Atlanteans are doing. I mean, because water.
Their butts did look tight.
They did. The last I checked out water, it did seem to have some resistance. But Atlanteans don't seem to have that problem. And, you know, I mean, they're magic.
They're magically breathing and talking to each other underwater.
Yeah, they can talk underwater.
They can all hear each other.
I'm not questioning
it. There's no bubbles coming out of their mouth. So therefore, when they talk, their actually lungs are full of water. And they are not expelling any air.
Their larynx works with water as well as air.
I would love to see that movie, but where like somebody put a bubbling effect over everything that's said underwater. So everything that is saying underwater is like this. Oh no, Aquaman! Careful, they're going to kill everybody.
They can add bubbles coming out of their mouths.
Yeah,
too.
Just, I would like it would obscure their faces if the bubbles just
or maybe
fly.
Every time they talk when they're on land, water comes squirting out of their lungs.
Oh yeah. I'd watch that cut.
They're all constantly just coughing up seawater on
Oh my god, that would be so anyway, all right. Well, Aquaman.
Yeah.
Aquaman. Jason Momoa. The reason a whole bunch of middle-aged ladies went to see Aquaman.
He is a finely crafted gentleman.
He's a finely crafted individual.
He's a fine physical specimen.
Fine physical specimen. There you go. Aquaman. What do we think?
Three out of five.
It was okay.
It was okay.
A 3 out of 5. Here, like, I thought about it a bunch, and I've been really careful not to just shit on the movie.
Okay.
So I'm trying to keep my criticism productive and not just mean. And I think Aquaman is like a very good example of like a phase one Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Yeah.
It's probably on par with something like Iron Man. If you're a really big Iron Man fan, you probably thought Iron Man was really good and you probably still do. If you're a really big Aquaman fan, you probably like this and you probably will a few years from now. But I feel like our... and so Aquaman would have probably been like 4.5 stars or 4 stars if it had come out 10 years ago when Iron Man came out. But in the last 10 years, our expectations for superhero movies have risen. And the way those stories get told in a movie has changed and improved, and that whole art has progressed.
Yeah.
And so I feel like now, finally, 10 years later, DC has caught up to where Marvel was 10 years ago.
So 10 years from now, DC might be making movies that were as good as they're making now?
Well, I don't know. They're making movies a little bit...
They aren't making them as fast.
Maybe 10 years from now, we'll get DC's Infinity War with Apocalypse or something.
I don't think they have a good plan.
Of course not.
I don't think they have... Marvel has had this planned since the start. Like, where things are going to happen, how they're going to come out, like...
DC doesn't have a Kevin Feige.
Right. And so for me, I would say, I thought this was an okay superhero movie. I thought it was a great DC movie. I liked it better than any DC movie I've seen so far, including Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like Wonder Woman as much as a lot of other people did.
I like it better than all of Wonder Woman. I like it less than the first 2/3 of Wonder Woman.
True. That's true. I thought that it was funny, and I thought that it was like it was dumb, you know, because it's just that they did him as kind of a, you know, a who cares surfer kind of dude, as opposed to like, you know, whatever. But I thought it was good. I thought I was kind of surprised that Nicole Kidman being alive was such a big reveal.
Yeah.
Because they showed it in the trailer.
Well, they showed a lot of stuff in the trailer.
Like, they showed her showing up in that fight in the trailer. So when it was like, she's alive, it was like, I mean, because, like, the trailer. So.
Yeah.
Well, the trailers also had, like, I would say there's two really exceptional fights in Aquaman.
Yeah, yeah.
And both of them are featured in a trailer, and one of the, like, scenes you can watch in advance is basically the entire action sequence that's the best action sequence.
What do you define the two really stellar fights?
When they're in the, I think it's, like, the Italian town, and they're running through the rooftops.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they're getting chased by the Atlanteans in the suit who can't be exposed
to
air.
The rooftop fight was fucking dope.
And Black Manta, who's dope. And, like, he shoots the bell on the rooftop.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Like, Mera is running and
going through buildings, and
Aquaman is running and going on rooftops.
He goes down, and he goes through the building, and then
comes
up.
That whole action sequence you can watch online, and we're able to watch online weeks before the early release. That's probably, like, the best action sequence in the movie. The other, like, really good fight I felt was in the very beginning when Queen Atlantia, right? Atlantia? Aquaman's mom?
I think so.
When she is in the lighthouse and Atlantis...
She just fucks
Atlantis
up.
Comes for her.
And she fucks them all up in seconds.
It's a great...
Atlanta.
It's a great choreographed fight, and they do all sorts of fun camera angle stuff where, as she's, like, tridenting dudes and then flipping them around with her trident, the camera will stick to the guy she's tridented and swing from the camera's perspective as she swings him around the room, sometimes rotating, like, 45 degrees to the right or left as the dude's torso rotates, in addition to being spun and revolving around her. Like, there was all sorts of really cool little stuff that I wish we had seen more of in the rest of the action in the movie. Because they're underwater, they could get away with some really fucking cool shit.
Yeah.
And I feel like they didn't take advantage of that as often as they could have.
Well, and you know, one of the things that bugged me, and I probably like this the least of us, because one of the things that bugged me was, like, there's the big thing with Aquaman fighting his brother, and they're fighting underwater.
You mean Ocean Master!
Call me Ocean Master! Yeah.
Bum bum!
He's fighting his evil brother. Underwater, it's like his evil brother is supposed to have the advantage because he's fought underwater his entire life. And then later in the movie, they fight again. And of course, you know, the first fight, Aquaman's going to lose. That's how narrative works.
Right.
And later in the movie, they're fighting above the water, and that's where Aquaman should have the advantage. And I was like, I didn't see any major difference between the two of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they both looked like they were fighting in two dimensions, not three.
Yeah.
That, honestly, is not a critique of the writing, because the writer wrote something that was smart. The idea that somebody who was raised underwater would fight better in a three-dimensional arena, and somebody who was raised above water would fight better in essentially a two-dimensional arena. What happened is the director and whoever did the special effects and whoever did the fight choreography failed to take that into account in a way that made sense.
Which sucks because they clearly do 3D stuff. Not 3D like 3D movie, but 3D in terms of the... Yeah, three-directional. Yeah. In other parts.
But they're almost their entire fight underwater takes place on a platform.
Yeah.
You know, and every now and again they go swimming, but you don't ever see his brother take advantage of this idea that they're not just fighting on a single plane.
That's the circle of flames or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That fight.
Underwater flames.
It's like a lava pit.
I know.
But that, it's like an ocean event. That's a real thing, sort of.
It is a real thing, sort of.
That fight, the CGI in the background, to me, looked like a 90s video game where they have like live action video, like FMV, you know, like full motion video in a video game.
Yeah.
But then they have like a CGI background, but it's in the 90s, so the quality is really bad. Like it looked like bad green screening to me in that fight in particular.
Yeah,
like I didn't like that
you're right.
scene at all.
So, my critique of the movie, and you know, I liked the fact that it was more fun than most DC movies because DC super takes itself way too fucking serious, and I think the recognition that you can't take Aquaman way too fucking serious was smart. So they did the Thor move there, which I thought was smart. But what I really had a problem with was I thought they were doing way too much with this movie. So when you talk about it being Iron Man quality, I'm like, Iron Man focused in on laser sharp on Tony Stark, which is what it needed to do.
Creation of Iron Man.
Yeah, and it did a great job there. Here we've got the crazy ass plot of Aquaman's brother, where we're bringing in all these other underwater tribes, and we never get to know them enough,
right?
To really give a shit about any of them. You know, the fifth one at the end, it's just like there's this gigantic battle, and they're crab people, and I don't know anything about them except they're crab people. And it's like, I wanted to know more about all of these. And it's sort of this assumption that, well, if you've read the comics, you know the backstory on all of these. And maybe. I didn't even know if all these different kingdoms are something that are in the Aquaman comics or not.
I only read like the later Geoff Johns stuff, like around when he lost his hand and had the trident hand and... That around like the new 52 changeover, and it wasn't really in any of that.
So I don't know. And then there was
Iron Man 2 than Iron Man.
Yeah, and there's the romance thing that's going on that we got to deal with.
Always.
And then there's the
Can't have a movie without heterosexual romance plot.
That's right. And then there's the mom, and then there's Aquaman's, you know, weird thing about whether or not he's an underwater dude or an above water dude.
Tennis
really,
half alien.
And then we had Ocean Master in addition to Black Manta's origin story with his dad and the pirates and all that shit.
And I did not... And it's like... I thought the Black Manta creation story... You know, they want to make you feel like Black Manta... They're trying to give their villain some weight and make you maybe kind of understand where they're coming from. And I'm like, no, fuck that guy. His dad was a fucking asshole that tried to kill Aquaman.
Black Manta is, to some degree or another, he is Aquaman's nemesis.
Right.
Or has been his primary nemesis off and on throughout the comics, historically. So I feel, I get that it's important to give him, like, an explanation and tie him to Aquaman and his creation story and all that jazz. But, like, and I loved Black Manta. I love that he was there. I think it's important to note that he is a person of color in comics, and that needs representation beyond just changing the race of a character. We have existing characters of color that should be included and represented in addition to other ways to do representation. It's also worth noting that Black Manta might be the first autistic comic character.
They've said he's historically autistic.
He's one of the... And they didn't talk about it in the movie, and it's not really a part of the movie. But, like, I don't know. It's a part of the character.
Yeah. I felt that...
they could have axed him, and it would have been a slicker movie, though.
Yeah, the problem is it was too much.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's like Iron Man 2, where there's two villains, and there's two, like... And there's this other plot, and then there's Iron Man in love with Pepper Potts, and then there's the, you know... It's... But it was a lot, and I was shocked how long it was, in the sense that, like, it felt long.
Yeah.
Like, it felt all 2 hours and 20 minutes, or whatever the heck it was. And I think that it's like they're getting better. It was fun. It was splashy.
It had color.
It had color. Yeah. The undersea creatures. I was fucking there for that. It was great.
The big fucking Kraken. I love the Kraken.
That was all really cool. All the harnessed sea creatures, and I just
they had the fucking genital fortitude to have battle seahorses.
Yeah, yeah. That was dope. You can just push her down off you. Peaches is being kind of a bitch. Get down, Peaches.
No, down.
Get all down, right. Peaches.
There you go.
All right. But I think that there was just a lot of crammed into stuff that didn't feel necessary. I would have much preferred Mara being like not into you.
Yeah.
On account of how you're half human.
Or just something, like,
or just
you're an outsider, like.
I like women. Like, yeah. Just, it could have been anything. Could have, how about not even brought up? Because people don't always have to discuss whether or not they're attracted to each other when they meet, because most of the time, people just meet and experience life together and then don't talk about fucking each other. Like, it's just, they're just people.
Yeah, and maybe in the comics, those two characters have a relationship.
They do, that's why. So, but still, like, it's just...
You could have put it off.
Yeah.
You could... She's been a villain too, yep. Historically.
There's things they could have done. I don't know. I think that Aquaman is. I think they're at least. I think DC is at least listening to the feedback about how they're too grimdark and about how they're too gritty and it's too try hard, and they're trying therefore to be a little more fun and a little more like almost not quite wacky but a little silly at places.
More fun.
Just having more fun for sure.
So DC does have like a color palette, right?
Yeah.
Like Superman,
black and blue.
Yeah. Dark brown. Great. Like all everything got splattered with mud. And when they're on land, and at like the lighthouse, and when they're showing the tsunami tidal wave shit that has wreaked havoc and. Killed, I mean, what, like millions of people die in this movie, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a DC movie. So, this always fucking happens.
So, I mean, yes, they're listening, but also millions of people die, and it's just like kind of casually like, they died, but whatever. Like, let's move on to the wet guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it's not millions of people, even if the only people who died are the people on, like, the ships that they wash up on shore, you know, that's still...
Hundreds of thousands? Yeah. Tens of thousands? Yeah. On land is still incredibly muted tones with very little color, with the exception of the Italian village where they had the rooftop scene.
It was all washed out, beach style.
Yep. It was all very washed out, very muted tones. The vast majority of the color comes in underwater, and not until they go underwater and then say you have to turn on your fish eyes.
Oh yes,
so that you
fish
can
eyes.
See the so that you can see the colors that are because.
He needed to put the scales on his eyes, am I right?
Yeah.
Because basically, in order to see vibrant color in DC's cinematic universe, you need some kind of supernatural fucking eyes. Like, that's what it takes. And then for the rest of the movie underwater, we see things through Aquaman's fish eyes.
Fish vision.
His fisheye lens.
At least they didn't use a fisheye lens. I was going to say, for a while there, I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah, I appreciated that. I never go into a movie wanting to dislike it. I wanted to like Aquaman more than I did.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, the biggest issue for me was there was just so much going on, and I wanted him to focus in on something. Like, if Black Manta, for instance, we'd seen his origin at the beginning and then not really seen him again.
And kind of forgotten about him.
Yeah.
Until
like
the very
end, the opening scene. Yeah.
Until the very end when they, like, set up the fact that like Aquaman's brother, who's defeated and all this shit, now goes to Black Manta and gives him a bunch of Atlantean technology to be able to take out Aquaman. We're like, oh, shit's going down in the next movie. I would have been okay with that. I wanted him because, you know, the whole idea is Aquaman is supposed to be essentially superior because he's of two worlds.
Right.
And you wanted to focus in on that conflict between him and his brother. And his brother's idea that, you know, the surface people are fucked up and we just need to fuck them all. Mm-hmm. And Aquaman saying, you know what, they're not as bad as you think. Mm-hmm. They just really need to be taught something. And if maybe instead of just killing them all, you pointed out that we're way the fuck more powerful than them because we can control the fucking ocean.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd stop dumping their shit in the ocean. If they'd stuck tighter to that and to Aquaman's need to prove himself, to get the trident, to, you know, whatever, however you want to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been a tighter movie and it would have been a better movie than what they decided to do. I feel like with DC movies, they still want to do too much.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's one of the things they try to do in this that I wish they had either done more of or none of. Was so James Wan, the director, is a horror movie guy. I mean, if you look at his IMDb page, the vast majority of what he's directed has been like fairly successful, dark, spooky, you know, horror movies. And you see a little bit of that with The Trench. Sure. And with the big Kraken thing that has a name that I can't remember. But like, why even bring in just a touch of horror? Like, why not make it, if you're going to have those dark themes, have it be either more of a part of the movie or, like, maybe not at all be a horror movie. Like, I don't want 5 seconds of a horror movie. I want, you know, like, to at least 15 minutes of a horror movie.
And, you know, The Trench, I just got to say, the thing that bugged me about that is, you know, theoretically, you've got these races that live underwater that nobody knows about. And yet the first time a boat goes where mm-hmm. this one race is, they all attack. It's like, how does nobody know that if you head out to the trench, you're going to get killed by fish people?
Right.
Because it seems like they're going to do it every time. And they even talk about the fact that they've devolved.
They're feral.
Yeah, they're feral. Devolved. So they wouldn't hide.
No. There's no tactics there.
Is devolution a thing?
Because
when they were like, they've devolved, I was like,
technically, it's just evolution, but just towards
a... Just they've evolved differently. Just make it a magic curse or something instead of fucking... They've devolved back.
But I mean, if we're going to complain about bad science in a movie about underwater races, I guess maybe we should.
So, another... I mean, not to just keep ragging on the movie, but like another thing that I just didn't like was people keep on calling Aquaman Wet Thor. And I feel like that's the wrong Marvel movie to compare it to. It is wet Black Panther, and Aquaman is Killmonger.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's from this world, that grew up outside it, that returns home to rule it. In the process of ruling it, like
that's good.
Aquaman is Killmonger. He's not Thor. Like, Atlantis is a hidden city on Earth that no one knows about that has higher technology, and he wants to take that technology out into the world and change the world with it. Like, Aquaman is Killmonger. He's not Thor.
Yeah.
He's just not Killmonger with a really bad plan.
Right. Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
He's Killmonger in status, but not necessarily in goals.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or in methods to reach goals,
right,
maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't originally want to take over Atlantis. He only has to do it because his brother's so evil.
Yeah.
But then,
and we know that because he kills a guy in cold blood.
Oh yeah.
And the guy
As opposed to when you kill a guy or you kill millions of people for reasons that are important.
Yeah.
But then Aquaman, before he gets the trident. And even after he gets the trident, to some extent, how many Atlanteans of the five races or kingdoms, how many does he kill, or is he responsible for their death in that fight?
Yeah.
Tens of thousands, maybe?
That's a pretty big war.
How many guys on sharks get eaten by their own steeds when he has the trident?
And why does he even have to go back? They keep saying, like, you have to go back. Is it supposed to be that his half-brother is that evil?
Yes.
And so, but so...
Like, you have to go back to stop Aqua Hitler is basically...
Yeah,
like,
basically.
Okay.
So, he kills tens of thousands of Atlanteans and then says, and now I'm your king. And people are just supposed to be like, okay, yeah. sure. You murdered my brother and my father and my yeah. aunt and my three favorite cousins and you killed my favorite shark. But you've got that fancy suit that we never see or have any mention of and a trident of legend. So I'm going to just accept you as my ruler without any sort of contention now.
You
no
win.
Way.
Well, we're setting
no
ourselves
fucking
up.
Way.
We're setting ourselves up for Aqua Westeros is what we are going to get.
Right.
This was the Battle of the Five Kingdoms. Or whatever that yeah. happens, the thing that ends with Robert's rebellion.
He's
with
a
Robert's
fucking Targaryen
and all that. Yeah.
yeah,
this is the war of you know for the throne. That yeah, it's you're just going to end up in political turmoil.
Yeah, there's a storytelling. I recognize that the alternate argument is going to be when you look at Marvel films, they do a lot. I mean, if you look at Infinity War, there's all these characters and there's all this shit going down. And yet what the Marvel movies consistently do is find ways to do really brief character moments for all the characters that are important. So you never feel like anybody got ignored within the context of the larger story.
In the good movies.
But
in some, there are some bad Marvel
sure,
movies.
Sure, sure. But
yeah.
Everyone gets a moment where they're the star.
Everybody gets a moment yeah. where they're the star, but the story is consistently propelled forward.
Yeah.
So in Infinity War, where a shit ton is happening, maybe one could argue more than what's happening in Aquaman, the story is still about Thanos trying to get
yeah.
all of the Infinity Stones
yeah. yep.
so he can do the thing that he wants to do. And what everybody is doing is, whether they realize it or not, fighting to stop that from happening.
Yes.
Right.
And they all get their character moments. They all get moments that, you know, I mean, Gamora gets a great character moment with Thanos in that
yeah.
movie, but it's still part of the process of
mm-hmm,
Thanos
mm-hmm.
getting the stones. And here it's just like, it's like a Jackson Pollock comic book movie in that they're just throwing paint at a canvas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they needed to use a few fewer colors, I guess, is my take.
Damn, yikes.
Yeah.
it's funny because, like, say what you will about Joss Whedon, if you look at his career, if you go back to, like, Buffy and Angel, or like especially Firefly and the Avengers movie, something Joss Whedon's really good at is having a big ensemble cast and making every character at some point or another be the star. Every character gets a moment. Xander gets to tell a funny joke. Willow gets to do a little bit of research and save the day, or says do something awkward.
Runs the store.
River Tam does her thing. Simon does her thing. Mal does his thing.
Yeah.
Like, Wash does his thing. Everyone has a moment where, in a part of this larger story, they're all contributing as a team, and they all get to shine for a moment. So no matter who your favorite character is, you get to see a good moment, a heartfelt moment with that character.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel, I feel like, has done a really good job continuing that trend in their ensemble kind of movies.
Yeah.
And I agree, Tim, like we kind of sort of, we get segments of these characters, not moments. We
right.
got a 15-minute Black Manta featurette that
right.
could have been in the movie or not.
Yeah.
Were there characters in the first Avengers movie, there were, that we hadn't really seen before, like Black Widow?
Well, Black Widow was in Iron Man 2.
Sure.
As Tony's secretary replacing Pepper. And Hawkeye we had seen
in
Thor.
We saw him briefly in Thor,
but very brief.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Very brief.
Okay. So it's not that they always introduce them strongly. Because I was just thinking it was weird that Justice League, like that they did that before they did the Aquaman movie. It
oh
just
my
seemed
God.
Weird to me. Like, why would you do that first?
Because it was so fucking ham-fisted, where it was
yeah.
like, how did we get introduced to the pantheon of these wonderful characters? A fucking USB stick full of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Like,
montage!
It was
like,
so ham-fisted.
So, like,
yeah.
why? I don't understand the release schedule.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like, why not put out the Aquaman movie that you do your, you know, you got your Superman v Batman, you do your Wonder Woman, you do your Aquaman, and then Justice League.
Yeah, I want the DC movies to be as great as the Marvel movies. And it's like when I sit here and I criticize them, I feel like I'm being a shitty comic book fan. It's like, no, you don't understand. I want every superhero movie to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I want good movies.
The problems, and I think the biggest problems with the DC movies and the DC universe, cinematic universe right now, is that they are not, the way that they're planning and the executive level decisions that are being made are fucking dumb.
It all feels like it's by committee in a bad way.
The fact that the TV universe has, there's two DC television universes. There's
more.
I mean, even like since they started making, since you could call it, since the new, like, reboot, there's two versions of that. There's two, like, in the movies now, we've had, you know, there's movies that have been made that are wiped, you know.
And the movie versions aren't the same as the television.
Shazam is going to be a DC movie that comes out this year that is not a part of the DC universe.
And it's such a fucking mistake.
Because in Marvel, all the TV shows are in the same universe.
That's why people love them, is those little crossover moments, those little bits where it's like, oh shit, the dude from The One, like, you saw him quick, they got that actor, like.
I don't know. Really? I don't know if I agree with that. Because, like, Molly and I watched all of Titans, and it's pretty good.
I like Titans.
It's not always very consistent, but it's a good show. It's very violent and very dark, but it's not like edgelord violent or edgelord dark. It feels like it's appropriate.
It's Tarantino violent.
Yeah, it feels appropriate to the theme and the style of the show.
But you're still going, holy shit!
Yeah. Like, oh my god, she gets shot in the fucking face. Jesus Christ. I am totally okay with that being separate from the movies. I don't need it to be connected if it's good on its own. I don't need DC's...
You may not need it, but I still think it's a mistake.
It might be better... Okay, if everything was a good quality and everything had really good, like you're saying, this executive level control and continuity, then yeah, it might be better together. But they clearly don't have that, so right. I'd rather they be separate.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I know, because my thought... My take on it is that Daredevil, for instance, you never see Captain America in Daredevil.
Right.
But if they talk about Captain America, you know it's the same fucking Captain America.
Or the big green guy. Or the thing that had the event.
The thing that happened in Sokovia. Yeah. The attack on New York.
Right.
It just feels like it's all tied together and they understand that they're all functioning in the same world. And that's not hard. That to me is lazy writing when you're like, no, we can't figure out how to make this all happen in the same universe, so we're just going to create 15 different universes.
But in order for them to do that, Tim, they'd have to not put Batman in something. And you can't not put Batman in something Batman is DC's Wolverine, and they got to put him in every fucking thing because he makes money.
All right, we got to move on to five questions. You know, DC, whoever's in charge of the DC movies, call us. We clearly know how to make them better.
Yeah, we'll fix that.
Just before, one last thing.
Sure.
Are they at least going in the right direction?
I think so.
Arguably, yes.
I think that they are. They are going in the right direction, but I think they're going very slowly.
Yeah.
Shazam,
pointed the right way.
The trailer I saw for Shazam made me go, "Yeah, damn, that looks like Shazam."
Shazam looks great.
It's a shame.
Shazam
it's
looks
not.
Like it's going to be my absolute favorite DC movie easily.
But it pisses me off that they're making a movie for Shazam, and then that character couldn't later end up in a Justice League movie.
Right.
I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Fanboying over Superman.
Yeah.
Because he's a kid.
How great would that be?
Because Billy Kane's a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be... It'd bring so much levity. Just
the same way, like, oh, hey, Captain America, Ant-Man, maybe you remember me? Like, oh, yeah, I know him. You know,
Cap.
Yeah.
Cap?
Yeah.
Captain America.
Captain America.
That's what we call him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Something like that, where it's like, who are you? You're not fucking Captain America.
Right.
Well, I'm an Ant-Man. You know, who are you? Star-Lord, man. You know, like, it's just,
It takes itself too seriously.
All right, so five questions. We have five questions from a listener, Molly.
Yes, we do. We have five questions from Jen Paulus.
Hey.
Hi, Jen.
Question one. If you were afflicted with a curse and could only say one word for the rest of your life, what word would you choose?
Fuck.
Fuck?
It's the most utilitarian word in the English language.
You're gonna choose that word for work and for being around the Nibblings public.
You know what? No matter what's happening with only being able to say one word, how I function in society is going to vastly change and I'm not going to be able to do my job.
That's fair. That's fair.
That is also true. Is this only verbal or can I write?
I feel like
can I sign?
Well, because we don't know if Hodor can write. I would say that definitely it's verbal, but you might be able to type.
Because Hodor understands English. Oh, yeah. He understands what they're saying.
Because this is a curse. Because I mean, there is a real thing in life that can happen that's called a stroke. Right. Where there are people who are basically unable to say anything but one word.
Yeah, I think that this is... I think we should assume that it's... if you can only communicate with one word, I think is probably the... I believe that's the spirit of the question. Question as written, you would be able to type.
So, I realize that it would be an imposition to others and children and public and all that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the versatility of the word is enough where you could say it angrily, you can say it in amazement, you can say it in congratulations, it's a utilitarian word.
See, that was the word I was going to pick too.
Is
for
it?
Basically the same reason.
Interesting.
Also, it's already kind of my favorite fucking word, so
yeah.
Fuck.
I think that it would make my life a little easier, and my family is used to me using that word a lot in many different contexts.
Yeah,
so,
all right.
Yeah.
The word I would go with is please.
Ooh.
Because I think you can use it in the affirmative, the negative. Like, if it's like, you know, you want to point at something and be like, please. Point at something and be like, point at, you know, like, please. Like this, you know, I'm pointing at a thing and pointing at myself, you know. If someone's being angry, being mean to you, just be like, please. You know, there's different ways to say it. I don't know.
You can refuse things with please.
Please, please. Like, yep,
by waving it away and being like, please.
At first I thought about the word being yes. But then I think that's too confusing. And I think because you can shake your head up and
shut
down.
Shut up. Hit
me. Right. You can, because you can do, there's nonverbal gestures you can use for affirmative and negative.
Right.
But please is a hard one.
I like your answer.
I think that's the one I would go with.
That's a good answer.
All right. Question two. If you could be known for one aspect or accomplishment of your life, what would it be? What would it be? I would like to be known for being... Like, I know it's ironic because we left the company, but being fearless, it's one of the reasons it was a suggestion I made for the name, because, like, I feel like being fearless is an important thing, you know, when we were all talking about what we wanted to do, you know, and I think I am fearless, for better or for worse. It is not a great thing to be, necessarily. It's a Gryffindor trait. It's that Gryffindor thing of, like, you know, bravery, fearlessness, however you want to phrase it, you know, but just... I've always been unafraid to take risks. How's that? I would like to be known for that because I think that can encompass both comedy and personal life and accomplishments in general.
I've joked about the writing the kind of the quote from Big Lebowski on my tombstone. It's my cover photo on Facebook for a long time. You're not wrong. You're just an asshole.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that degree, but like. I am aware that I can be kind of a brusque person sometimes, and I can be a little rough around the edges. I can also be like a diplomatic and charming person if I put my mind to it, I think. But I think being remembered as a person who was right, not always easy about how he was right or helpful or good or contributing. but, you know, ultimately, like... Not wrong.
Yeah. All right. Tim?
I don't know. I'll just say a thing. It's like, if... And I've started a lot of stuff in my life, been part of starting a lot of crazy, weird, great things that I'm super proud of. But, you know, if I'm like, what do I hope is around 50 years after I die? I guess I hope Convergence is around 50 years after I die.
That's
fuck
a good
yeah.
one. That's and a really good one.
Not like
it matters to the most people. That's right. The thing that you've started that matters to the most people.
And it's not, I don't want my face on the wall. I don't want people to walk in and go, oh, that dude, that was one of the people that made this thing happen, you know, 100 years ago.
Right.
It doesn't need to be about, oh, hooray, Tim Wick helped started this convention. But it's the thing that I want to outlive me.
Yeah.
And make a difference.
Yeah.
A legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
absolutely
my answer.
All right. Question three. Cheese or movies?
movies.
God, I love cheese, but movies, there's a lot more variety to movies.
I would have a harder time giving up movies than cheese.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's rough. Yep. That's rough. Yeah. I'm not happy about it.
I love cheese.
Cheese is good.
I also especially love to eat cheese while watching movies.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not, it's not as good as cheese, but nutritional yeast can go a pretty long way to satisfying my cheese lust.
Barf.
I know.
Yeah, and I couldn't have cheese popcorn anymore at the movies.
I'm just saying,
I mean,
Tim,
it's rough. But
a little bit of dry nutritional yeast over popcorn tastes kind of like cheddar popcorn.
All right, well, I don't know. But I'm still giving up the cheese.
All right, all go movies.
Yeah.
Question 4. Marry, fuck, kill. Star Wars, Star Trek, Stargate.
All right, it's easy for me for the kill. Kill Stargate.
Yep.
Because, the TV show was fine, but I never really got into it that much.
Okay.
And the only other thing that I like the original movie, although it's cheesy as fuck. So,
sure.
Stargate can go away.
All right.
Marry and fuck is a little bit difficult.
Yes, it is.
But
I've got it.
I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to marry Star Wars.
Okay.
I'm going to marry Star Wars because I think I have a longer, more intimate relationship with Star Wars.
Okay.
And I'm going to fuck Star Trek because that's what's left. Because
you can do it in the holodeck.
You can do it in the holodeck.
That's true.
That's pretty fucking amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kill Stargate.
Yeah.
Because it's the inferior fandom. It's the inferior property. It's like, whatever. I know people love it. It's never been my thing. It's never been the thing of anyone I closely associate with.
Okay.
It's not in my fucking horizon.
All right.
Fuck Star Wars. Star Wars is a good time. Star Wars, you're going to roll around in the hay and walk away with a smile on your face and, like, that's it. That's all there is. It's fun.
Yeah.
And you marry Star Trek because Star Trek is reliable. Star Trek has a good lot that has the responsibilities in line. They're worried about, like, the betterment of humanity.
Yep.
And you get to, you know, have your marital sex in the holodeck.
Yeah.
That's hands down.
My answer is the same as Nick's, but for slightly different reasons. So, fuck Stargate. Fuck Stargate.
You mean kill Stargate.
Oh, sorry, kill Stargate, because, no, thank you. Yeah, kill Stargate. I would also fuck Star Wars, and my reasons are Daisy Ridley and the dude who plays Kylo, Adam Driver.
Yeah.
And also, young Carrie Fisher, young Harrison Ford. I would fuck the shit out of Star Wars. I'm just saying, I got a smorgasbord of delights available for me for Star Wars. That is tasty treats up and down. I want to be the meat in a Rey and Kylo sandwich.
You and Carrie Fisher could commiserate over cocaine.
Carrie Fisher and I would do so much cocaine and talk about bipolar disorder together.
It would be great.
And then
3 months later, you could go in for electroshock to ESD together.
And start it all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I would also marry Star Trek because marriage, to me, is about the long haul and longevity. And what do you have? And there's the most Star Trek. There's only so much Star Wars. But there's a lot of Star Trek. There's so much Star Trek that I haven't even seen. I don't even know what the plot is to some of the Star Trek shows, right? There's so much Star Trek that I could watch it all, and then it would take years, and then start over, right? So, to me, long haul, Star Trek is the one that's going to be there. And Star Wars is the sexy, glossy, dangerous time in the galaxy, right? Like, it's a dangerous time
fight
in the galaxy for this pussy.
Then go home and fuck. Right, yeah.
Molly, you're my cross genre fanfic.
Yeah, baby.
No Stargate.
Right. No. Question 5. You can delete one popular TV show from reality. What do you choose?
The Walking Dead.
Nice.
Hmm.
Now, do you allow it to be rebooted, or to be made again?
Only
or
if they do it right.
Can never be made.
I'd rather it never be made.
Yeah.
Kind of.
All right.
Like
Walking Dead.
It's just so against the entire spirit of the comic.
I'm with you.
Walking Dead.
All right. Oh, boy. I'm going to go with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette because I consider them the same show.
Yeah, they really are.
All right. The Bachelor / The Bachelorette. I'm sorry, Heather. But I got to get rid of that because I think that it is propagating terrible societal concepts, and it is this whole idea of that you can know someone well enough to decide to marry them after a few manufactured dates on television. I think it's one of those things that's like, what's wrong with society? This idea that you go on TV to get famous, even if you don't find love, well, at least I'll be able to be famous now. Like, I think it's gross. I think everything about it is gross, and I would get rid of it.
All right, I was originally going to say Firefly just because Firefly fans are obnoxious. Ooh. But Firefly is a...
But the movie would still exist.
Yeah, and Firefly is a good show. It's just, it ended too early, and now Firefly fans are obnoxious about it.
That's fair.
But I actually, in thinking about it, I'm going to go with ER.
Ooh, fuck you.
Because
how many seasons? That's like 9 seasons?
It's a lot. It's more than that, I think.
I hate medical dramas so much because.
So you go with ER, not like St. Elsewhere or anything else.
Well, I mean, Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
If I could get rid of all of them, I guess I would. But you're gonna pick ER.
To me,
they're all the same. They're all a bunch of doctors who can't have a decent relationship because they're married to their work.
Yeah.
And they're characters that get introduced for an episode and then die because that's what it's all about. The doctors can't save everyone. So in fact,
15 seasons.
And I've seen every fucking episode.
So in fact, they can't save anyone, and it's just like it.
I would pick Grey's Anatomy over ER to get rid of in terms of a medical drama any day. But that's because I don't watch Grey's Anatomy.
331 hour long episodes.
I've watched enough of ER to be like, I am not interested in this show.
All right.
I don't understand why people get into medical dramas.
Contentious.
Yeah. I don't. It's never been my cup of tea. I don't hate it. But at the same time, it's just like never did anything for me.
I have cried real tears, not just watching episodes, but thinking about them later because they were so emotionally good to me. That's crazy. All right. Thank you so much, Jen. I want you to all know that Jen has also agreed to plan my bachelorette party if I get a redo whenever Nick and I renew our vows.
Oh, well,
which is something we plan to do eventually.
That's super nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank
and you deserve
much.
A redo.
I deserve a redo of my bachelorette party. That is very true.
All right, so I'm going to let people know we've done a lot of host-only episodes lately, so we're getting down there on 5 questions.
We really are. We've only got like 4 left.
Yeah. So I'm gonna remind you. Send in an email to 5 questions. Ask us any 5 questions you want. And the great thing about this new system is if you've asked us 5 questions, you can just ask us another 5.
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah. You could be like,
yeah,
I have my last 5 questions were great, but I didn't like your answers. Answer them again, but be different.
Yeah.
We don't even care.
You know what? I'm gonna go one better. Do you have any ideas for shows? Like, if you have an idea for something you'd like to hear us talk about, we'd love to know.
Yeah.
What are there topics we haven't touched on that you're like, I can't believe they haven't done a show about blank? We have a lot of host-only shows, but to be honest, like there's times where we're digging kind of deep to try to figure out what to talk about. So we'd love to hear from you. If you have an idea for an episode, hit us up.
It's hard to believe when we're doing a weekly podcast and we're talking about atheist shit, we're talking about comedy shit, we're talking about geeky shit, and yet there are some weeks where we're like, I don't know what the fuck to talk about.
Listen, man, I don't want to just sit here and talk about how religion sucks. Y'all already know.
We know.
Like, there's got to be a new angle on it, though. Yeah. So hit us up. What do you want to talk about?
So, and you can also, in addition to sending in your 5 questions, support us on Patreon. We always talk about that because, you know what, it helps. Helps us pay for new equipment. We are getting really close to being able to hire somebody to redo our website. So we would love to get there. We'd love to get there. And, you know, you can help us out with $1 a month. We are, of course, also on Facebook, Twitter, all that shit. And thanks so much for listening. If you liked Aquaman or you didn't like Aquaman, you know, let's hope DC gives us something really great when we get to Shazam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Wow. You can't understand a word somebody says when you do that.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Boo doo doo doo. Bumper time. Boop. All right.